97.7 EXT. I'm on the phone with the singer and founder of one of the 90s greatest alt-rock bands who are still making sweet, sweet music today, John McCrae of Cake. John, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, John, while I have you on the phone, your sophomore album, Fashion Nugget, one of my favorite albums of the 90s. I don't think how I could have survived the rest of the 90s without that album.
Yeah, well, thanks. That's nice of you to say. I still listen to that album once in a while, and I'm not sick of it all, so it's good.
No, there's a timeless quality in your music. And let me first start off by mentioning Cake are playing two shows in our area, Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown, Friday, May 26th, and Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, 2 days later, Sunday, May 28th. And you can visit cakemusic.com for tickets. John, let me go back. The band's last studio album from 2011 was Showroom of Compassion. In 2014, you released your first and only live album called Live from the Crystal Palace. Please tell us you're working on another album.
Yeah, I am getting songs together and working on arrangements, writing, you know, bass lines and trumpet parts and things like that right now.
Is that the genesis of songs? Is music first and then the lyrics?
It varies for every song. Sometimes it's music first, but that's actually a much more difficult process. It's you know, if you write a melody and then you have to find words that fit exactly to that melody, it's a lot more like doing a puzzle, like a Rubik's Cube or something, than just expressing yourself. So generally, it's a lot easier to start with words and then see what kind of melody the words that you've already written suggest.
And I've always loved the band's musical style. You guys are always ready to party. Who did you take your musical cues from way back in the day, and how did you develop your trademark sound?
Well, it was in the 90s, and there was a lot of music that I hated. I hated some of the big, dumb rock bombast of the early 90s that I thought was, in a way, like, you know, it was somewhat cooler culturally than some of the big dumb rock of the 70s, but in a lot of ways was very much the same. It was sort of a more is better approach. And I was listening to, I just happened to be listening to some, you know, Mexican music and country music and R&B, you know, from the late 60s and early 70s. And you know, that music doesn't assume greatness. It doesn't, you know, just kind of barge into the room. It actually kind of, it woos the listener in a way that some of the power Viking music that mostly white people make, you know, it's like a lot of the music that we think is somehow subversive is really just another form of deforestation. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does. Woo is the right word. Your music does woo the listener.
Right. You have to decide to go into the room and listen to it. It doesn't knock the house down. And that's intentional. It was our music in the very beginning, like our first album, Motorcade of Generosity, was a album that we just kind of made on our own label and just sort of put it out ourselves, and it hit a chord in some places in the world, and people started listening to it and liked it, but it was really intentionally puny sounding music. We were making a sort of what we thought at the time was a subversive music establishment statement with that. And we were filled with hostility. And right around Fashion Nugget, we were becoming a little less hostile, but it was a good mix of the initial sort of negation of stuff that we hated and, you know, sort of we're starting to think about also what we liked.
You were the idea. You were the person that decided on the trumpet in the band, right? In the music, right? That's genius.
Well,
that,
you know,
sound.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not my genius. It's there's been plenty of really great trumpet usage in different kinds of music other than rock. But yeah, you know, I mean, and there is some trumpet in rock, but very rarely. What I was looking for, and it goes back to that sort of hostility that I was feeling toward a lot of the sort of bulbous, veins bulging from neck kind of music of the early 90s. I was saying, is there a way that I can put these melodies that I've written into the song without a heroic lead guitar, you know, scorching kind of sound, which I felt like really sound like a huge cliche at that point.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know, trumpet could play this stuff with a lot less heroism, you know. And so, and we worked it out, and it took a while to figure out how to incorporate trumpet. But, you know, for me, it was far preferable to, you know, the heroic lead guitar sound.
I love it. I love the sound of the trumpet. I may not know every Cake song, but when one comes on the radio and I'm unfamiliar with it, I know it's you, because it has that defining sound in it, and it woos you, and it draws you in.
Right.
And I love it. I really love
it. Nobody else would want to have that sound.
You know, I don't know, like, why not? Put trumpet in every song. It's just, you guys do it great. You do it better than anybody else out there. Well, you love playing live too, don't you?
Yeah, you know, there's things that you can do live that you just can't do in the studio. You can, our live sound is, you know, messier and louder and more frenetic than the studio sound. And that's, you know, that's good if you're a musician, to be able to do that. And we're lucky to still have, you know, people wanting to come hear us play after this long. Usually, if you're music, you get flushed down a lot faster than that.
What can people expect from a Cake show?
Yeah, like I say, it's more frenetic, louder version of the songs, and you know, there's some crowd participation. Sometimes when we want it to happen, and sometimes when we don't want it to happen, people sometimes try to bring their own instruments. so it's just it's like that.
And you throw in a lot of covers too, don't you?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. We don't use a set list, so sometimes we do feel like it, and sometimes we just forget.
Wait, you don't use a set list?
Yeah, you know, in order to stay alive inside, we decided a long time ago to just ask ourselves at the end of each song that we play, what song do we feel like playing next?
Wow.
And what song feels like the right song to play, rather than just being like a jukebox and playing what the list says. This is really a way for us to, I think, put on a better show, because we're actually playing the song that we feel like playing, and it seems less like prostitution and more like, genuine communication.
Yeah, wow. That's really awesome. Well, people can keep up with the band online at cakemusic.com. And you offer up advice right there too, right?
sometimes. Our trumpet player, Vince, does most of the advice column. But yeah, he does have a master's degree in psychology, so it's not completely reckless.
No, I was looking at some of the questions and some of the answers, and they're like, wow, I'm a theology student, or I'm a mechanical engineer, and how do I make the best out of my day here doing what I do, and can you give me any advice from your standpoint? And the answers were phenomenal, so if he stops playing trumpet, I guess he has another gig he can go to.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think... I'm pretty sure. But yeah, you know, there's a lot more commonality. You know, there was a guy a long time ago, an old guy, who said, you know, there's different ways of getting to the truth of things. And, you know, one way is you try to go and study every single thing in the world, and you sort of like digging these shallow little holes in the earth, you know. And then another way is digging just in one place as deep as you can go. And then something funny happens is you reach this point where you hit the groundwater, and there's this giant sea of groundwater down there that sort of connects you to all these other people that have dug these seemingly singular, you know, holes in the earth. And then suddenly everybody's connected. Everybody who's really dug down in one place has got to a similar place. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, totally. That's a great way to look at things. That's great. And people can view the Cake Forest online as well. Tell us about that.
When I was struggling, and, you know, I think I was making T-shirts and waiting tables and driving a truck and playing with the band, just scraping together money. I sprung for a tree at this, there was a sale, outdoor sale, and I bought a small, very small tree, maybe 4 foot high tree, and I illegally planted it in between the sidewalk and the street in front of my apartment. And I watered it for a while, and then the band started doing a little better, and I started touring more, and you know, things changed, and I moved to a different place, and I moved to another place, and forgot about the tree. And then 10 years later, you know, I had been through all kinds of mostly touring trauma, you know, like touring really more than anybody should have to.
Yeah.
And I was taking a walk on the street where I used to live, and it was really a calm sort of day, and I just almost ran into this huge 25 or 30 foot tree that I had planted 10 years earlier. And I thought to myself, you know, this is an experience that everyone should have. It's a fundamental human experience that in some ways dwarfs your sense of time. It just sort of changes the way you look at time in a way that I think is valuable. And so it wasn't some sort of hippie environmentalist thing that we were trying to do with the tree giveaway, but it was really just thinking, you know, more people should do this and see what that's like. And, you know, there is a thing with carbon and CO2 and oxygen and whatever else, and trees are obviously really good for that. But yeah, so a lot of times we'll ask a question at a show, and somebody, you know, raises their hand and gets it right, and we give them the tree, and we've got a map of the world on our website, mm-hmm. where there's these tree icons, and you can see a photograph of the person standing next to their newly planted tree in Minneapolis or Paris or I think Australia or
wow. you
know, lots of places. And then also the idea too is to watch these people age and watch also the tree get tall and strong as they,
wow.
as you know, as watching a human live their life. So anyway, there's that.
Great story and great work that you're doing as well. Check out Cake playing Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown Friday, May 26th, and at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, Sunday, May 28th. I say people go to both shows.
I say why not? If you know, if you have the time and money, I think you should do it.
Absolutely. No set list, too, so people can expect the unexpected.
Anything could happen within reason.
CakeMusic.com for tickets and to keep up with the band. John McCrae from Cake, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. Can't wait to hear more music from Cake, and we'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you so much.